Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and we are back for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir here with Sherry Pang. How's it going, Sherry?
Hey, pretty good, Jason. How are you?
I'm still alive. It's just another day in
so
paradise.
So am I. How are you dealing with the heat? I heard we're supposed to have a heat wave coming up this coming week.
I don't have to deal with it because I work in an air-conditioned place. I live in an air-conditioned place. It's probably 60 degrees where I live, so it's fantastic. But every time I walk outside, I have to deal with the heat. But I don't walk outside very much, so it's not a problem.
I love it. 60 degrees is perfect for me also, too, Jason. It's great. You and I both are the same page.
I don't like heat. It's stifling. I don't like it when it's hot. I'd rather it be cold, because then if you're cold, you can just, you know, throw something on. But if it's hot, you can only take so much off before you get arrested.
Exactly. So. And we're both Leo, so we probably heat up pretty good. Oh, my God. I know. Oh, it's amazing. It's interesting how, you know, when we were brought together, it's amazing in a situation where we have a lot in common. It's great. It's crazy, but great. And, you know, it's good because, in a way, too, that because we can complement each other with the work that we do. You know, you're at the technical end, but I don't mind getting the guests. So, you know, we help each other out. It's great.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I did want to mention that, you know, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, you know, since you came aboard the show, that our listenership has exploded. So whatever you're doing is generating a lot of interest.
Well, thank you. And I just, you know, I kind of followed after my mom. My mom was a people person. And, you know, my dad, my stepdad, he was a people person. So that's why they got along. My stepdad, who is my other dad, but he was a people person too. And, you know, they did a lot of entertaining and stuff. So it was good to be able to kind of follow in my mother's footsteps. I'm very proud of her, and her legacy continues, hopefully, in the good things in me. So, but anyway, I want to go and be able to introduce our, it's been a long time, at least probably about 6-7 months. We've had our regular guest, Joe Punohu. He is from Hawaii and a personal friend of mine. It just absolutely beautiful soul, and he is the head of the Hawaiian Hauntings Group, and he does tours in Hawaii. And you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about what we're going to talk about, and I think we're just kind of randomly kind of feel, you know, just kind of go with the flow. And we have a few things that I want to ask him about, but you know, that Joe can, he's just an excellent speaker and really can fast. An hour and a half is going to go by really quick. So we should bring him on.
All righty. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Hey, how's it?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Going.
Good, good. You guys talking about it being hot? Man, not that hot over here. Trade winds and all.
How hot's it normally get? How hot's it normally get in Hawaii in the summer?
80s to 90s, maybe a little up above the 90s, but it's all relative because of the humidity. And if we have trade winds, and now with the volcano erupting, we have fog. We've always had fog, but it's just, yeah, it can get bad when there's no wind, but not like oven kind of heat. Like I felt in like the mainland in Vegas, and it's like, oh, dry heat, no.
Well, I was watching this big motorcycle jump thing with Travis Pastrana. It's on in the background. He just was doing 3 record-breaking jumps, and they're saying it's like, at its peak, it was 109. And I was like, you know what? There is no way I would be outside if it's 109. And I don't care what's going on. I would be curled up next to a refrigerator or freezer.
Exactly.
But anyway.
My problem is the mosquitoes love me, and I was reading an article about that, and you know, and they were saying that it pleases mosquitoes, generally speaking. They like the type O blood and the AB blood, so that if you have either O or AB, you're most likely get bitten than the other type of blood types.
Well, I'm O positive.
So am I.
Yeah, we do have a lot in common. So, Joe, what's I guess it's been a while since you've been on the show. Maybe you can give our listenership a little bit more of an extended bio on yourself and what you're doing out there in Hawaii.
Okay. It's always changing. You know, first it was telling ghost stories, and it was paranormal investigation. Then it was leading a group and teaching, and now it's kind of become ghost storytelling again. And I realized Hawaii, ancient Hawaii, traditional Hawaii, is a lot of oral storytelling because nothing was written down yet before Captain Cook and the missionaries and all that. So what I'm doing actually fits perfectly into my culture, and that's why it feels so right, is the art of storytelling. You know, so I'm kind of focusing on that a little bit. I had a new kid come into the world, so that's three kids now. Baby's about 5 weeks old, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations.
So that's keeping me busy. Thank you. But, yeah, I get out when I can, when my wife lets me get out, to go into the field and go into the graveyards or the battlefields or the sacred sites and talk to the spirits, learn from them, feel the energy, and with a group of people and teach them and stuff. And it's fantastic. It's very enjoyable for me. But that's what I've kind of been up to, and just working and all the same old, same old.
Hawaii has such a rich, you know, history, and I remember talking with you in the past. I mean, just great, fantastic ghost stories, great, fantastic ghost hunting going on now. If somebody was to do that, I think the thing that fascinates me probably the most about Hawaii is, you know, these. I don't know if I want to say the word curses or something like that. You know, you take a rock from wherever and you have all these bad things happen, but it's such a rich and diverse history, and it's truly fascinating, some of the stories that we've talked about in the past with the night marchers and stuff like that. So it's just, and I've never been there. I would love to go, but you know, I'm afraid to fly, so it might be a while.
Well, there's cruise ships too.
Ooh, yeah, there you go. Hey, Sherry, you want to go on a cruise?
Yeah.
I love cruising. Seriously, Jason. I think you'd like it. I mean,
let's go.
You know, yeah, it'd be fun. Hey, we should do a Paranormal Horizons cruise ship. No kidding. That'd be awesome. So anyway, Joe, hey, quickly, I wanted to ask you, are there any protocols, or what would you say, and this is for our listeners, is there any protocols or anything you suggest for people going to Hawaii if they ever wanted to do, you know, paranormal investigating or ghost hunting? Is there anything that you can help our listeners if they're interested in doing this?
Yeah, of course. Hawaii has so many things over here, not all of which are Hawaiian, even in the paranormal. But respect is the key. You have a respect. You realize that you're not the one in the area. You realize that the rocks and the trees also have life, and that the land you're standing on has tons and tons of history. You know, and just the realization that when people, you know, when they come over here, just treat them with respect. You know, you're walking into a house. Imagine the ghosts as real people, because they are. Ask them permission. Tell them what you're going to do, and then listen. You know, that's the kind of protocol we like to do. We like to say, even though I've been back to these sites hundreds, maybe even more than 1,000 times, I still tell them my name. I still ask them permission. I say, we come here to hang out, or we come here to tell stories. If you'd like us to go for whatever reason, please give us a sign and we'll listen. And then we have to listen too, though, when we get the sign. So people get excited when a tree falls down. Oh, the ghosts are here. Let's bust all the equipment. It's like, no.
So aside from the paranormal, how are Westerners treated there? I mean, I imagine there's a lot of animosity, since didn't the United States pretty much steal Hawaii? Like, how are people treated by the locals?
It all depends on your attitude. I mean, we have a lot of people from the mainland who it's the stereotypical mainland attitude where the world revolves around you. You know, you go into a restaurant, you expect you to be the center of the attention, not the other customers. You know, that kind of thing ain't going to go down too well over here. But if you're respectful, then typically they respect, then basically, yeah, you're respected in turn, you know.
That sounds like that's
not treated
much
that bad,
anywhere.
But then we also have the other people. We also have people who, as soon as they see you from the mainland, they'll be like, "Oh, this guy acts like all the other people from the mainland." You know. You know, you got that everywhere. You have the good, the bad, and the ugly too. So.
It's true. Right. That's true. Wow.
So but now,
yeah, food. Always food. Share your food. If you get some other people come up to you, offer them some food. It'll be all good.
So that's kind of the trade-off is to calm situations is just to offer food.
Yeah, you come offer it, like, hey, come join me, come, you know, eat, talk, sorry, that kind of stuff, and then they're like, hey, this guy's cool, all right.
Right on. Well, if we ever make it out there, Sherry, we'll have to take some extra bags of chips or whatever.
Exactly.
Now, I'd love for you to share for our listeners any stories that you've heard or any personal involvement with people that have gone over that weren't respectful and the sort of things that happened to them as a result of them not being respectful with the land or with the spirits.
We've had a lot. I worked with Oahu Ghosters for Oahu Ghosters for a number of years, and we've seen all of that. It really depends. I mean, sometimes things would happen, like people would get scratched. Sometimes, you know, I mean, not even people who visit the islands, though. I don't think that they differentiate the spirits quite as much. We had a local guy, a new tour guide, go to one of the places and tell his rendition of the truth, which was not always his rendition of the truth. Which wasn't always the truth, I mean, you know. And they were getting a little upset, the spirits. And you could feel it. It was almost palpable in the air. It was pitch black. And other people came up to me, and they're like, this place is very angry. Bunch of stuff started going off. At the time, we used Ghost Radar, which is an app on your phone, and these words started coming up, basically stuff like get out, leave. And I'm like, okay, you know, I felt something coming up from the ravine or the darker side where you walk down this trail, and I told it to, you know, you stay down there, leave us alone, you get out. And it said, and then it came back on the Ghost Radar immediately and said you. And at that point I'm like, okay, let's go. So we get everybody into the van, or we're trying to, because half the group is excited because something is going on and they want to take pictures, and the other half runs into the van, and then it's chaos because the half that runs into the van see everybody else taking pictures. So by the time I get the picture takers into the van, they're running out too. They're like, I'm going to take pictures too. The trees were creaking. The trees were swaying, which is actually kind of unusual for that site. They were bending. These huge, like 50, 60 foot trees were bending. And the wind gradually started getting stronger and stronger and stronger as the anger grew. And the other guide came out of his car. He's like, don't worry, I got him. And he brings a coconut. And I'm like, oh, okay. You carry random coconuts in your van, but whatever. I'm like, all right. I'm thinking he's going to leave an offering for the spirits called Ho'okupu. You know, sorry. You know, here's an offering for you guys. But instead, he takes a defensive stance and he starts screaming back at them, smashing the coconut into the barrier, into the little parking barrier that was in front of us, smashing it as he's yelling for minutes. And I'm like, the wind got worse. He threw a piece of coconut at a tree that creaked, and immediately the wind just stopped. Everything just stopped. It was quiet. It was still. And he turns around. He's like, oh, mean yell and scare him away. I looked at him, I'm like, no, you just made things worse. The shock, it was a shocked silence. Like, what did he just do to us? And then the wind picked up even worse, and we're like, yeah, let's get the heck out of there. And it took a few days, but we managed to bring the site back down. And, you know, yeah, that's one of the longer stories, but basically, like, The next day on the tour, we went there. We were greeted by a gigantic black dog, a real dog. And that's exactly the place where I will tell the story of the big black dog that was a Hawaiian demigod, Kaupe, who was half man, half dog, and he was a cannibal. First time, only time I've seen this dog. And it was sitting down exactly where we parked the vans. And I'm kind of freaking out. But the dog just was the friendliest dog we ever saw. And come to find out it was a guardian. And it followed me like within hands distance, right on my side. I could just reach my hand down and touch the dog. He followed me the entire site, protecting us. We went back there on the third day, me and two friends, and we walked down at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the whole place was really loud and windy, but it felt, even though it was pitch black and in the middle of the forest, away from lights and away from population and stuff, it felt like we were at a family party. There were noises, there were a comfortable feel, like you were walking through a luau or something, you know. And that was cool. We left the offering of some food and some drinks, and this huge, like, wind just blew around us. Like, didn't touch us, but maybe about 10 feet out, it blew in a circle around us. You could see all the bushes and the trees moving, but we didn't even feel the wind at all. That kind of stuff. So that was a local that did that. The spirits did not like him throwing things. I found out from the sensitive we brought there that he threw a coconut at a child, and it hit a child, or almost hit the child, and that's when they got upset, the spirits.
Wow.
Other times they'll have people call us up the next morning, sometimes after the tour, a few hours, saying that they cannot sleep. There was another time at the Pali Lookout I heard about. My friend did the tour with some guides, Uncle Joe, who's a senior guide over there. He did a tour with Uncle Joe. It was a veteran tour. So that alone is interesting when you bring a bunch of veterans into a battleground, like the Pali Lookout. One guy, I was told, because one of the veterans were my friends, and he told me that this one guy was saying all up there, he didn't believe in this, he didn't believe in that, this is all BS, this is all blowing smoke and all of that. And at about maybe half an hour later, there was this gigantic landslide at the Pali Lookout. Now, that was like a few years back. We still can't access past the lookout, which was a hiking trail before, an old road, because of this huge landslide. Just the timing is something. The guy didn't say a word the rest of the tour, I was told.
What about ghosts or spirits from Pearl Harbor, Americans? Is there reported activity from all the deaths that occurred during Pearl Harbor?
Yes, I've heard about a lot. Unfortunately, they're not very happy about the people investigating on a military base.
Yeah.
We tried before
as well.
Yeah, it's a military base. It's high security, and having a bunch of people roaming around at nighttime with flashlights is not... I completely understand, you know?
Post 9/11, I can understand that.
Yeah, but I mean, we've had people on our tour from Pearl Harbor, and they would tell us in certain hangars you will hear noises, footsteps, people talking. You know, even out at the Arizona Memorial, it said that you throw your lays into the water, and that... the oil bubbles still come up from the Arizona, and you can see faces in them and whatnot. People have debunked that to, what's it called, pareidolia. But, you know, it is what it is. And it may be or it may not. I've seen faces in there as well, and I would imagine the place has a lot of activity.
Can you refresh us about the Night Marchers, in case the listeners weren't listening back the last time?
Of course, Night Marchers are the, I guess they're a little more unique to Hawaii, but they're kind of strange. Because it's like in the olden days, the chief would march, the king, the ali'i would march to a battlefield, to a heiau or temple. They would go from place to place, but they would do so some of the time, most of the time at nighttime, because the king had a kapu, a taboo on him, where if you were to see him, you would die, some of them. If you were to touch his shadow, you would die. If you looked on his back, you would die. So they would pound the pahu drums, they'd blow the conch shell, and you'd see a line of torches coming down. Oftentimes the torches would encircle the chief so that he didn't cast a shadow. He wanted to go from point A to point B without having to kill any of the fishermen, the commoners, you know, his subjects, I guess. This is in the olden days, and this phenomenon still occurs till today. Sometimes it's partially manifested. You'll feel a hot wind. You'll hear drums. You'll hear a conch shell. Other times you'll see full-on torches and people coming down the mountain. This doesn't just happen in the middle of the mountains in the pitch black. This happens in, like, Waikiki. This happens in Chinatown. This happens a lot of the places where they were. You know, we had built over a lot of these sacred sites, and the night marchers still come and go as they please. But you just need to know the rules is don't look kind of thing, right?
Have you seen a night marcher yourself, Joel?
Nope. We've heard them on a few occasions, and that's the point where it's like, let's get out of here. You hear the drums, it's like, okay, yeah, time to leave. I like to think that whichever guardians are out with me know ahead of time, and they throw us a little warning when it's time to go, you know?
What kind of warning did they give you?
Well, I notice it's the good ones that really scare you. The good spirits scare you to get you out of the place before other worse things happen. They'll throw rocks sometimes. They'll make noises. They'll rustle a bush. Sometimes we'll see things. But it's usually at times where it's like, okay, time to go. Like, we would leave the tour early from the site, and 15 minutes later, a tree falls down exactly where we parked. That happens three separate times on the tour.
Wow.
You know, so the scariness is not, it's not, oh my gosh, the spirits are angry. No, they're just telling us to get out of here.
That would probably get me to get out of there. I mean, I couldn't imagine having things falling around. Whether it has anything to do with the paranormal or not, it would definitely be startling.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Wow.
If I could, I wanted to speak a little bit about a friend of mine that has made a big difference for me in the paranormal field. Is that all right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Okay, thank you. This friend of mine is named Doug. He's from Illinois. He came down on the tour, and this guy would come down, and like every day of the week he was here, he would do the ghost tour every day, every night with us. So I got to know him, and I talked with him. And quiet, timid guy, but getting to know him, he made my brain hurt. We talked so much. I've never had that happen to me before. My brain started hurting with all of the knowledge and information that he was giving me. Very quiet. He won't say much unless you start to ask him questions, and then he has a lot of answers. He invited me. The first time we hung out, he invited me to his hotel room, the Waikiki Circle. He said that they were going to do a crossover that night. So I'm like, oh, sure, okay. He's like, me and my team. So I show up over there to his room, and there's only him. And then he's like, okay, well, here's my team. And I'm like, there's only you. He's like, well, my team is ghosts and interdimensionals, he called them. And I'm kind of thinking in my head what a logical, normal person would think, you know. Okay. You never learn anything if you block your mind off, right? So I'm like, all right. One thing I did notice when we were in the room was as soon as I stepped in, there was this immense headache. Like, it felt, the pressure on my head was just tremendous. And then he told me that there's approximately 40 million souls in the room with us.
There 40 million souls what?
There was about 40 million souls in the room with us. And that he was going to try and help cross them all over. 40 million, yeah.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
thinking, again, oh, I'm thinking, that's a lot. But that's, you know, and I'm also questioning, you know, I mean, if Doug is listening to this, he told me I could share this stuff. He's probably laughing. I'm probably like, okay, 30 million is a lot of people, you know. I don't think so. But it really felt like it. And he's like, it takes a little while to get used to it, but just trying. I'm like, okay, I think I got this. And this was one of the things that, like, completely changed my perspective. It kind of came naturally. I imagined the bubble around my head, and I expanded the bubble. And as I imagined the bubble expanding, my headache decreased. And then I'm like, oh, that's weird. And so for about 5 minutes, I played with it. I'm like, okay, small bubble, big bubble, headache is back, headache is gone. You know, and I just kept playing like that. I'm like, this is weird. Until finally I decided to just make it like, imagine like the bubble around my head, small, but like made of steel or iron. And then the headache was completely gone. And we just hung out and talked story. How he crosses over people, he's a conduit. I might be having the wrong word. He has died, been to the other side, seen heaven, and come back, and then brought back. So the spirits that don't cross over, they go into him. He opens himself up to the spirits, and the team is kind of what helps him through and keeps him safe. He explained to me, the spirits will go into him, see with his eyes and his memory that there is heaven, and then they too remember heaven, and so they cross over. So they go through him, and they cross over. And so, as he said, we just sit down and talk story as we're doing this, and he pulled out his PSB spirit box. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but it cycles through radio stations fast, kind of creating a noise, and you know, like just the bits and pieces of the station. Yeah, like kind of like the original Frank Fox. He actually was at one time an owner of three of the Frank Foxes, but now he only has one because he gave the other two away. So he's sitting down, and as soon as he turns it on, we hear this female voice. Oh, and I didn't tell you guys the whole time I met him, he told me that his wife is with him too as well. This woman named Stacy. And she's dead, and she's a ghost. And in every picture around him, there would be this orb, always the same orb, no matter what site we went to, no matter what night, there was always this orb, very, very definite, always around him. Always looking and feeling like the same entity. Orbs can be specks of dust, but this one wasn't, I'll tell you. He turns on the PSB, and you hear a female voice say, "Hi, baby." And so Doug is like, "Hi, Stacy. This is my friend Joe. I'd like you to meet him." And I hear a voice, "Hi, Joe." Through the cycling of the radio station, through the static. And he's like, "Joe, it's such a pleasure to introduce you to my wife." And I'm like, just kind of in shock. I've never used that thing before, but to hear an actual voice, you know. And so he could tell. He looked at me. He's like, "Is there anybody you want to talk to, Joe?" I'm like, part of me is still kind of doubting. I don't want to say, "Oh yeah, let's go ahead and talk to my friend who passed away." And then you listen to it, and it could like go into your mind and suggest things, right? Like, "Oh yeah, I think I heard that word," you know. So I said, "Well, whoever would like to talk to me can talk to me." Then I heard a voice come on, and of a lady, an old lady, and said, "Mariah, Mariah, Mariah," three times. And I'm like, I'm just like smiling. He looked at me. He's like, "Do you know someone named Mariah?" I'm like, "I heard that too." He's like, I told him, "Yeah, my auntie Mariah passed away a few months ago, actually. And she was 100. So she'd call, she couldn't hear too well. And she'd say the same thing a few times to get your attention. And she tells me to tell Joe, her son, Uncle Jozo, hi for her." Another person comes on, and it's my friend Jacob, who I grew up with, who had passed away. And he recounts playing basketball at the park, things that we did growing up, driving around the block. And I could hear these sentences coming from a voice that sounded exactly like his, as he's recalling the memories that we had. And I'm like, Doug can hear all the same thing, and he's just kind of smiling. You know, it's complete magic. That night was complete magic. We talked to a few other spirits too. Some of them were funny, and all of them knew me. But they were.
I want to join in.
What's that?
I want to join in. I would like to be there.
Yeah. Well, I got the impression for the spirit box that it's like everybody operates like a radio station on different frequencies as well. Everybody gives off their aura, whatever it is. Me and Doug are so similar that we complemented each other and the radio and it was just crystal. When me and him get together, we can hear things crystal clear. But the thing is, if there's more people present, it kind of because different energy, hiccups, you know. Case in point, I was in Maine on a trip. Me and my sister, I was outside smoking a cigarette in Maine, and I was listening to this guy, and I was talking to this guy who had passed, my uncle who had passed away. And then my sister comes out, and she can hear him as well. Me and my sister are very similar. So she's listening to him as well, and she's kind of like, is that Uncle Neil? Like, yeah, that's Uncle Neil. And, you know, and he talks a little bit more, and my dad comes out. That's his brother. And the connection gets a little fuzzier, but enough where I'm like, Uncle Neil, can you know who's with me? And you hear him say, hey, Ray. You know, it's my dad's name. And dad looks, and he's like, is that Neil? I'm like, yeah. And then more people came, and we had completely lost connection at that point. You know, little by little, the least amount of people, the better it is.
Was the spirit box really clear, or was it kind of staticky, or what? You know, how was it?
When it was just me and Maine, it was really clear. When it's me and Doug, Doug's in Chicago, and I haven't seen him since 2014. But when we use it, it's pretty clear. We can both hear the same voices. We have conversations. We were at Prospect Place in Ohio investigating the house, and he was doing another crossover and talking, and you could hear the people coming and thanking him. You could also hear one voice that was really upset. I think that was like a religious fanatic who called him Satan and the devil and started swearing at him. Because in his mind, Doug was the devil. Because he's trying to make you cross over into the white light, but he's tricking you. It's not the white light; it's hell. This is what keeps people from not crossing over. They're afraid to go to the other side because they're afraid that of what might await them. And so we were hearing this guy start cussing and swearing for about 5 minutes until I finally spoke up, and I'm like, "Listen, there's children on the other side of this. You know, they're talking as well. Quiet your mouth. We'll get to you." And he did. He came back later and said thank you, because he crossed over as well.
I've always been skeptical of those ghost boxes, but from what you're saying, it's pretty compelling when you're getting direct responses from that. You know, I always thought it was just random, I guess I would have to experience that to really get that, you know, that feeling. But from what you're saying, it sounds pretty amazing that it's like direct.
Most of the time when I'll use it, not always is there something that happens. Most of the time, nothing. There's just those few moments, a few times when everything is right, that it's just, you never forget it, you know. And I had a spirit box, but it broke because I used it too much to prove to people that they were ghosts, you know. To try and replicate that experience for some of my friends so they can go, wow, we talked to a ghost. And Doug, what he does is he helps people through the grieving process as well, talk to their loved ones. He has a purpose, and his purpose isn't kind of like jumping through hoops and proving, you know what I mean? He has a deeper purpose. So I took that as I'm not allowed to use a spirit box unless I have a real purpose behind it. And I completely agree.
So, do you think there's any danger to people doing that? Do you think there's any danger? Well, I mean, if people run out and buy spirit boxes, I mean, they could run into something negative, couldn't they?
Oh, of course. Of course. It's the same as a Ouija board. You would have spirits talking to a little child's voice that isn't a little child. You know, you'll have things pretending to be things that aren't. And there has to be ways to protect. And he's taught me methods. He works with an operator on the other side who I've heard several times as well. You know, the operator keeps the rabble out and brings forward and helps the spirits who want to communicate. The operator is also interdimensional or spirit or something like that as well. So my protocol for the spirit box is I'll turn it on, give it a few seconds to warm up, get adjusted. Then I'll ask it, you know, if there's anybody here that's intelligent, so I can prove that this isn't just random noises. You need to say my name and somebody else next to me. And once I hear that, I'll call the operator. I'll tell the operator, okay, we need an operator here. We'd like to talk to this person and find out what's going on, or we'd like to speak to somebody who can tell us what's happening at this location. And it's not always good. It's not always precise. As I said, there's usually a lot of people, and it gets really fuzzy. But there have been a lot of times where that kind of stuff has just been crystal clear.
I won't be buying one anytime soon. I don't need any spirit attachments. There's enough going on as it is in the world.
Yeah. You got to use your intuition, you know, logic. If they're on the East Coast, if there's a little kid ghost, it's most likely a little kid ghost because the East Coast is a lot older. If you're on the West Coast and there's a little kid ghost, the belief more predominantly in the West Coast is that when you die, a child crosses over, right? On the East Coast in the 1700s, the 1600s, it was more Puritans, Quakers, where you're evil, you're going to hell, and so the children wouldn't cross over.
So do you believe
But
that
still, when I use it, I'm very skeptical.
Some of the ghosts that appear to be a child, are they not really a child? They just try to pretend that they are, and they're just trying to trick you?
Yeah, that's also happened before. And what you do is you just pray, and you say, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot tell lies. In the name of Jesus Christ, the evil must leave. You know, we are protected here. And if it's a good ghost, the ghost will still remain. But if it's a bad ghost, it will get out of there.
So how does Hawaii view shamanism or the shamans? How do they view that, the Hawaiian culture?
View shamanism? Well, Hawaii has kahuna. Lots of different types of kahuna. Kahuna means more or less like an expert in the field, not like a priest that chants and, you know, makes the clouds move and stuff. The relationship between us and the earth is very important. And a lot of the times, is that what you asked me about the kahuna, the shamans,
right. How
they view
right. The
paranormal?
Exactly. How the shaman, the Hawaiian culture of shamanism.
We don't call it that. I've worked side by side with a few kahuna when it came to blessing house and blessing a house and blessing people. And I've realized that they don't just come in and wave their tea leaf and throw salt in the holy water and the ghosts go away. It's more of a longer process. It could take hours and hours and hours. You need to figure out why you're being hunted. Why is there a ghost here? Why has the ghost decided to latch onto you? What did you do? If grandma comes back from the grave and you see grandma in your house looking really mad and these bad stuff start happening, grandma's probably mad that you're smoking crystal meth and you need to stop. You know, it's not a bad ghost you're going to kick out. It's if you kick out the ghost, then the lesson is not learned, right? The person is not anywhere better, near being better because of this. If somebody reaches across the ether or however you call it, and haunt you, there's usually a very good reason as to why. And you just need to get to the root of it, and that's the investigating and stuff. That's what I've learned from this kahuna I worked with.
What about somebody who's so Joel, what happens when you have somebody that you have bought a home, you don't know the history, and then you find out there is a ghost? So you need to find out why they're there, why are they haunting you? Is that what you're saying?
It depends on the situation. If the people who are being haunted are getting harmed in any way, scratches, or if anything appears to be demonic, then you don't do that. You just skip to the prayers and priest and that kind of stuff and blessing and getting it the heck out. You know, once it infringes upon your free will to live peacefully, you know, if it's moving things around your house, to the point where even if it's throwing things, but clearly not at you, it's something that's angry and it needs to be figured out why it's angry. But if people are being harmed, then there's no way, you know, you don't waste time with that kind of stuff. Yeah.
How does somebody know if they have, you know, a spirit hanging out around them? I mean, does it always have to be like paranormal things happening? Do a lot of people have attachments? How would I know? Like, is there something I can do to figure that out?
See, there could be any number of spirits around you at any given time, but it's until they start to mess with you in your life that it becomes a problem. Like, things go missing, but that could be a child too. You know, things missing around the house, and then 2 weeks later, your iPod will appear on the table in the middle of the living room where you haven't seen it for, you know, weeks. And that kind of stuff is a lot like, yeah, that's ghosts. But, I mean, like, you wouldn't know it from things happening. Usually by the time people talk to me or ask me for help, it's because a lot of things are happening, like the pressing ghost, the choking ghost, kids walk around the house seeing this, seeing that, you know, maybe lights flickering. It all really depends.
It's not like your grandma and grandpa's watching over you and making sure, and they just want to make their presence known. This is something that is really shocking to the family, correct?
Yeah, but then again, it could do many, many things. Guy, my good friend Guy Balanta, he likes to tell a story about when he was living after his grandma had passed. He was making some bad decisions in his life, and he was still a teenager, you know, that kind of stuff. And grandma was angry, and so she took his like favorite cup, coffee cup, and it disappeared. And then one night they're cruising in the living room, he and I think it was a friend, and they hear a loud pop towards the ceiling, and they watch just the handle of the coffee cup fall from the ceiling and crash into the ground and shatter. It just literally popped and appeared above them. There's nothing it could have hung on to on the ceiling. It was smooth. It just appeared there and fell. You know, this kind of stuff isn't really more of an angry ghost. It's an angry ghost, but it's not an angry, I want to harm you kind of ghost.
It reminds me of the movie really Poltergeist when all those things came from the ceiling.
Yeah.
That would definitely open my eyes.
Yeah. And, like, sometimes even in my case, like, you brought up the poacher guys, that was just a burial ground. We also have a burial under my house. And when I grew up, he wasn't very happy, the chief. And so I would be sick a lot. A lot of things would happen. My grandpa would come to protect us after he had passed. And finally, my parents made peace with it by having a kahuna come, and my parents simply introduced themselves. Say, hi, this is our name. We're here to live. We will take care of the land. We don't mean any disrespect. And then, boom, Grandpa was gone. Never came back because there was no reason for him to come back. The chief is still here, and we still see him on occasion or feel him on occasion. And he just kind of watches over us, which is fantastic considering what I do. Things have tried to follow me home, and the chief is just standing in the yard like, nope, you are not entering this house, to the other things that are trying to follow me home.
So spirits can keep other spirits out, you know, acting as guardians?
Yes, to a point. There are other spirits that probably outrank him, I would assume. We did have a visit from one of them, but he wasn't necessarily bad. He was just observing, but he was a lot more powerful.
I wonder why some spirits are more powerful than others. Like, I don't know. I just always kind of wondered about that. While some aren't able to do much from what we hear, and others, you know, create havoc and poltergeist activity.
Those are usually ghosts. Ghosts are a lot lower vibration, and they can interact with us on our vibration a lot better, a lot easier. Once you cross over, you become a higher vibration, and it's a little harder to communicate with us. The one over here that has been seen was a spirit named Ku, and in Hawaii, Ku is one of the four main gods. I even had a lady when I met him for the first time on the tour at the back of Manoa Falls, Paradise Park. She had no idea what this was. She was from Australia. And she described his energy to me. And she said it was male. And I asked her, like, was it a hiker or something? She said, no, this is very male. I've never felt anything like it. This is not a ghost. This is not a man. This is a god. And I've had some of the most powerful sensitives as well meet him, come across, and they don't know what to make of him because he is no ghost.
Is he nice?
I think that he would outrank. He can be, but it's more of a traditional thing. We found out, when he met me on the tour, Ku is a male god, and there's some chance will number over 100,000 incarnations of Ku. Anything that has to do with a man or male is Ku. I mean, like canoe building would be that. Fishing, Ku'ula. There are just so many, and many, we know of 40, and all the rest have been lost. But anything that the man would do would be Ku. There was another one, and this is the one I ran into. He went by the name Kukaili Moku. That would be the god of war who demanded human sacrifice. And that one was not that good. I believe it's all one and the same. It's kind of hard to comprehend. I believe that he thought me bringing the tours back there again and again, that I was bringing him human sacrifices.
Oh, no.
And we found out months later it's because we believe our family genealogy descends from the priest who, generations ago, the priest who worshipped him was a man named Heva Heva. Heva Heva Nui was the Kahuna Nui, Kamehameha the Great, the conqueror of the islands. That was his number one Kahuna. That was our ancestor.
Really?
And it was his responsibility to do the human sacrifices, I always told. And so he thought that because I'm of the same bloodline, that that's what I was doing.
Oh, gotcha. Well, it's luckily, hopefully everybody on the tour has made it out okay.
Yeah. Uncle Joe will joke about that now and again, but he's like, okay, so I need a volunteer. I mean volunteer.
Sacrifice. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
But at Bobby Mackey's, I think it was back in 2016 when I shared my Bobby Mackey experience, he was actually the one, I believe, that came to save me from the demonic entities.
You think that there really are demonic entities there? Because that was, I don't know if the listeners have seen it. It's been a long time, but that's Ghost Adventures did there. And that's the one where Zach said it's a portal to hell or something. Am I right?
Yeah. My experience there really messed me up for the next year, 2 years.
Oh, really?
And the only way I could describe it was what I've read in like a demonologist journal is that a part of you withers away and dies, and the other parts don't know what to do, and sometimes it makes you feel like you want to die as well. The whole rest of you wants to. So, yeah, he came to protect me. Nothing bad happened to me except that there was a time when I had a hard time breathing for about 45 minutes until I busted out the Hawaiian salt and the holy water and all of that stuff, and I blessed Bobby Mackey's. Just for the sake of protecting myself, not for the sake of getting rid of anything that was there. But
what's
it
deal with
work.
Bob?
I didn't.
What's the deal with Bobby Mackey's? Like, I don't remember what the history with Bobby Mackey's is. Like, why is there that level of activity or those level of entities there?
The unofficial story, and I say unofficial because even though it's official, it's never been proven, was there were a few murders that happened over there from, I think that was the 1800s and on. Like a woman found out she was pregnant, so she was decapitated by the husband or the boyfriend that got her pregnant, and her head was dumped into the well that was on property. Later, that same well was used for cattle Well, I mean, at the same time, it was used for cattle. Like, there was a cattle farm there, and the well would, they'd dump all the blood and stuff, and it would run off into the river. And it just continued throughout the history of the place. People would die. Usually, it would affect, like, pregnant women in their second or third trimester. And, yeah, from suicide to, there's a bunch of stories there, but... Also, I believe it's also there was like devil worship over there when the building was abandoned for decades, and you know how that goes. But I talked to the lady who ran the place, or ran the tours anyway, and she told me that under the ground is a river. It's an underground river that runs north. She said it's the only north flowing river that she knows about in the U.S. And scientifically, the water, running water, creates energy, right? The whole area was limestone. Limestone could be used as a conductor. That well, I don't think is a portal, but I do believe there is a portal. In fact, me and Doug were talking about it as we were driving away. He crossed over the murderer spirits that were there by having the team force them through his body to cross over. And what happens, he explained to me, and it happened to him at the Valeska house in Iowa, the axe murder house, the same thing. He was not very experienced. He did not have that many other people he worked with. And he woke up, he was in bed for like 3 days. He woke up with blood and this black goo all over him. After Bobby Mackey's, I actually saw this because we're in the hotel room. He woke up, he's bald, and there was blood on his head. There was this black, almost tarry-like substance on his head, on the pillow, and I looked out of his ears. I looked for any cut. There was nothing at all. There's no, I could not figure out where it came from. We came back. We went to the Saddamsville Rectory to investigate that place, came back at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and all the black stuff was gone, and the blood was just there. He explained that to me, like, when they forced the guys to cross over through his body, they leave all of their junk. Kind of like you're walking into the portal, into the light, you take off all your clothes, you leave all your baggage, dump it on the ground, and just walk in. And so they were so bad that that's what they had left behind in him, and it had to find its way out. So, ectoplasm, I guess, for the,
I was
going to
say, you got slimed.
Yeah. It was fascinating. We were even talking about it. And one thing that always kind of bothered me on the tours was that we would tell ghost stories, and we've had about 5 dozen people over the years that I've done it. And I mean, props for them, good on them, but they'll come over and they will cross over the spirit of the murder victim, and they would cross over the spirits who had died there and tell me with a smile and absolute confidence, this place isn't haunted anymore. And part of me, I'm like, we still got to do a tour tomorrow. You just took all the ghosts away, but no, but they would come back.
Is Bobby Matthew, you think, is still haunted?
Yeah, I have read so many cases of priests going there to bless him. I've read so many cases of people, like, high up there, blessing it, saying that everything's gone, everything is done with. Even Doug told me the same thing. Everything is gone, everything is done with. I didn't believe him. And we're driving away from the place. I talked to him, and I'm like, I don't think you're right. He's like, no, the black goo kind of just shows you the proof that these guys have crossed over.
Wow.
I told him, but there's a portal. And now he also explained this to me like years before when he was here. We got into talking about everything. I mean, he explained to me there are different types of entities. There are ghosts, there are people, there are djinn, there are shadow people, there are demigods, there are aliens. There's a whole array of them. And I asked him, like, so do ghosts die? And do demigods die? More specifically, Madame Pele is active in Hawaii now, the goddess of the volcano. She said that their lifespan is about 700 to 800 years. But it doesn't seem that way, because what will happen is Madame Pele will pass, cross over, but she leaves her outfit. Then another spirit comes in, puts on the outfit that has all of the memories, that has all of the powers, and assumes her role again and becomes her. So you don't even notice a difference. And so that's what happened at Bobby Mackey's, where I believe, and I talked to him, and he looked at me, and he would talk to his wife, Stacy, through this pendulum. And he looked at me, and he looked at his pendulum, and he's like, yeah, Stacy says you're right. These guys have crossed over, but they left their suits here. And so something else is going to come up through the portal and become them and do the same thing all over again.
Wow, that's interesting. I would be surprised. I believe in that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm just looking at the clock here, and we only have a few minutes left. I want to give you an opportunity to let everybody know, how can they learn more about the tours and stuff like that? If anybody wants to get a hold of you, has any questions?
Well, I don't work for Oahu Ghost Tours anymore, but they are a great tour that'll drive you around and tell you stories and stuff. That'll be OahuGhostTours.com. There's a few good ghost tours in Hawaii as well. Let's see. Also, to get a hold of me, I run a group on Facebook called Hawaiian Hauntings, and it's been my kind of what I've wanted to do is make it into a little bigger, so we can reach out for more people, but it seems to be big already. We got about 13,000 people in the group. Share stories, join the group. If you're ever coming down over here, shoot me a message. You know, I have no problem. I love any reason to go out in the group. I don't charge any money, but I also don't drive you, you know? So we go out to a place, I'll tell you stories, you know, that kind of stuff, maybe have some experiences, and yeah, and it's a good night. We make good friends. We're doing what people on Facebook don't often do, is meet in physically in person and create relationships and friendships. It's kind of cool. Yeah, the group, is Hawaiian Hauntings. So everybody, it's a safe haven. People share their stories. There's tons. Stories, pictures, you know, from all over the islands, even some from the mainland as well, and even from Europe we've had as well, and stuff like that. So, yeah, feel free to join. Just make sure you answer the questions when you join. Otherwise, we block, because a lot of people will, like, try to sell stuff, and they won't answer the questions.
Did you have a question, Sherry?
No, not at all. No. How often do you go and investigate, Joe?
As I said, whenever I can. I mean, but then with the whole thing, I mean, we have a new baby, so I'm needed at home a lot more now. But we went out. We had an opportunity to go to the Manoa Chinese Cemetery about a week or two ago. The caretaker gave us a tour of the place. That place is fantastic.
Yep.
You know, so,
now,
I mean.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know. I went to the Chinese cemetery in Hawaii, and they were saying that you don't want to go. There was a lady in a white, she's a white ghost, and she's Chinese, and she stayed there. They said you don't want to be there after a certain time. Did you hear about that?
No, that might be a different cemetery. This one is full of children, and everybody's happy.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. No,
and
this is not.
You can hear them laughing, and you can feel the good energy, and they're running around, and they're well taken care of. The caretaker does a fantastic job. But, yeah, I mean, we do little events like that when we can, you know, or we just go out to the dark and say, hey, whoever, like, come can come. Or we'll do a Facebook Live here and there, you know, that kind of thing.
I'd like to do that one with you when I go to Hawaii, that little children's cemetery. I think that would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, definitely. We'll have to get together and do a Facebook Live. We'll channel in together and open up Paranormal Horizons and Hawaiian Hauntings Live when you go on. That would be wonderful. We've done that with Octagon Hall.
Yeah,
that would be wonderful. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be cool. Well, we are about out of time. Joe, I want to thank you again for coming on the show and sharing those stories and experiences with us, and hopefully we can get you back here in the future.
Anytime. Thanks for the opportunity, guys.
Yeah, Barry. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you. Welcome back. It's been at least a couple few months, maybe 6 months or so, but we'll have you come back hopefully. We'll keep you on the books, but thank you. Thank you for just supporting us, and thank you for your friendship.
Yeah. I'll talk to you guys later, yeah? Take care.
Okay,
take care. Okay, aloha. Right.
All right.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Yes, good. Good guest, always. He's always has so much stories to tell and just a wealth of information, and just really enjoy talking to him, and I'm just proud to have him as a personal friend. But anyway, next we're going to have, for the very first time, we're going to have a psychic lawyer, very well, internationally well-known. Mark Anthony is going to be coming out of New York, and he's on NBC, ABC, all kinds of places, and been on radio, TV. Well, he's not only a lawyer, but he's a psychic lawyer. So we're going to have Mark Anthony come on the show next week. And in 2 weeks, I'm not sure. I'm on the road, so I don't have the calendar in front of me. But we just really appreciate all our listeners, their support, and just being with us.
Absolutely. Well, with that, I want to wish everybody a happy Sunday and hope everybody's out there is staying nice and cool and safe, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. So unless you have anything else, Sherry, we'll close her out.
We'll close her out. Hey, everybody, be safe, take care, and just be well. Peace.
Good night, everyone.